Today's the trade deadline day. Crazy Yankee game. Mets with enormous moves. Brian Cashman yet to impact the pitching. So a lot of baseball going on today. But we'll get close as we get closer to football tomorrow. I'll have a football Friday. Why not? As we got a 5-hour midnight ride. So we'll get into a little bit more football tomorrow. But obviously, camps are in full bore. I saw Tom Coughlin was at Giant Camp to address the Giants and still sounds and feels. Maybe I'll play that audio just to let you guys hear it. I think it's clean. Just to hear and see Tom Coughlin, he still looks exactly the same. The man has done an incredible job aging. He looks exactly the same to me. He sounds exactly the same. So nice to have Tom Coughlin at Giant Camp as the Giants get ready to embark on a season where I do think they have a chance to be better than most people think outside of, you know, because of the schedule, because of everything else, the way they've played over the last handful of years. There's not a lot of optimism. I have some, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Obviously, a lot of baseball, a lot of trade deadlines. We're waiting for the Yankees to do something off of last night's victory that, yeah, for, you know, it doesn't feel as good as it should, but that's a big win. I don't care. And the team keeps fighting back. That is a good, solid win for the New York Yankees. More of them need to come, obviously, as they're trying to hang on to this final wild card. The Red Sox pounded Minnesota, so they're still only a game up on Boston. The Blue Jays just avoided a 4-game sweep of the by the Orioles with a 9-8 victory, so still 3 in the loss column behind the Blue Jays for first place. And the Yankees need desperate help in the bullpen because now, and they could use it right away. Because now, I mean, Tim Hill wasn't even supposed to be available. They use Williams. They use Weaver. Like, they really, and those are the only three arms you trust. And now there's no way they'll pitch Hill tomorrow with Marcus Stroman on the mound. And, you know, Marcus Stroman doesn't go deep into games. So they're going to be, it's going to be a tough spot for the Yankees later today for a 1 o'clock start right here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up? Good. How are you?
Good. Good. I don't want to discuss yesterday's Met game with the way they were throwing the ball all over the place. So, talking about the AI for the movies, you know, they've been talking. I told Zoo, like, they were talking about, like, Rocky VII for, like, the last 10 years. Like, dude, they show a picture of him sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
With, like, a gray beard, you know, and all that stuff. And, I mean, all you have to do is just go, if you not sure, you know, about, I'm not saying you specifically, but if anyone sees like stuff like that, just go to their IMDb page and see if there's really a thing going on.
That's it. They'll announce everything. Well, absolutely. He's like, I did the research. I mean, would you just Google it and it popped up?
Right.
And that's the research?
Right. So, because, I mean, I saw the same thing about Wedding Singer 2. I mean, personally, I'd like to see that myself.
Absolutely. I would love to see Wedding Singer 2. But, so, yeah, I mean, and they have all these fan, like, my kids fall for it. My kids are like, oh, they're making this movie. And it's like, look at the trailer. And it's like these fan-created or AI-created trailers where they'll take clips from other movies, put it together, have a new voiceover, and suddenly it's like, oh, they're making a new Dragon Ball Z movie or whatever the case may be. Yeah. And it's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. It's just it's a bunch of clips from other movies.
Yeah, so it's I mean, it's kind of funny that he fell for that, but
and then tried to bring it to all of us like a dope. What a dope!
Well, you know, I mean, I guess there certainly have to be distractions. Look, I hope they, you know, as far as the deadline today, I hope they are able to. I don't know if they're looking for a starting pitcher or not. Just, I mean, it's good that they get these two bullpen arms, but if they can't get past the fourth inning with the starters, you know, when are they going to get to these guys in the bullpen?
No, but one starter isn't going to help that. I mean, it's kind of been, you know, right now Senga is that kind of pitcher. Right now Manaea has been that kind of pitcher. You hope that eventually that changes for him in particular. Peterson's the one guy in the rotation that you feel can give you innings. So even if you get one starting pitcher, don't get me wrong, it'll help. But, I mean, that's why you went out and got bullpen arms. That's why they're still talking about going to get another bullpen arm. I mean, you might just have to be a team that goes at max 6 innings from your starting pitcher. The problem with that is, as a caller brought up earlier, is that in these 7-game series, we've seen it a lot in this new era of baseball where the bullpens are so prevalent. You get into a 7-game series and you see the same guys 3 or 4 times By game six, you're very comfortable against these relievers. So that is definitely an issue. But right now, you feel good about the quality innings that you get from your starters. It's just not enough of it. And if you're going to add bullpen arms at the level they're adding them, you got a lot of different options out of the pen. So, but yeah, still be aggressive. You could go get a starter. You can go get another reliever. You can go get a center fielder. All of those are on the table. Reports still have the Mets in on every one of those. Will they get all of that? I don't know. But every single one of those positions are still being discussed. You know, there are reports that they're in on every one of those still to go get. So we'll see if the Mets and how aggressive Stearns handles it. But I thought yesterday was a great day for Stearns, a great day for the Mets, great day for the Met fans. I think it's a very positive, and I call it an overpay. And I'm not trying. And thank you for the call, Eric. I'm not trying to be a jerk and say, oh, it's a terrible trade. If you look at the Tyler Rogers trade, for me, now again, who are these guys? What was Jose Buteau going to be for this team? What was Tidwell going to be for this team? Andrew Gilbert, who was the top prospect in the Houston minor league system when you traded Verlander for him, doesn't mean he was the top prospect for the Mets. Clearly he wasn't, and he was kind of floundering a little bit, but and he was 24 already. So what are those guys? I don't know, but they do have value. And if you look at it, that was a heavy price to pay for Tyler Rogers. It's probably an overpay. I know as a Yankee fan who's still looking for relievers, I was not happy with that trade. I'm like, good God, that's a lot for Tyler Rogers, man. This market's going to be crazy. But you know what? I like that it's an overpay. I like the idea that David Stearns went out there. And again, who knows what these... Tidwell might never be anything. And from what we saw, I mean, you know, not overly concerned that you just traded another, you know, traded away a Cy Young Award winner. And Buteau might never be the same weapon out of the bullpen that he was. Maybe they try to convert him back into a starter. I don't know. But there was value there, and that's a lot of value for a rental starting pitcher. There's no doubt about it. But I like that about it. That's what because I wasn't sure how David Stearns was going to handle it. And so for him to be willing, because there's no way in my mind he wasn't uncomfortable with that trade. Like, there's no way he, till the very end, to when he said, okay, like, up until that moment, there's definitely something where Stearns is like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. But that he still pulled the trigger and went out there and got that arm to help this team and was willing to overpay guys who were either blocked or not as good as they had hoped or whatever the case may be. Like, I think it's a great move. The overpay is what sells me on Stearns' mindset, which is what I was looking for. And then the Helsley deal is a fair trade. That's a good, solid trade. I know you give up Baez, who's a top prospect for the Mets, but I think that's a home run, and now you've got two, like the three-headed monster in the back end of the bullpen for the Mets. It's really good. You've got three closers back. You got, you know, three closer-level pitchers back there. And Diaz is one of the best closers in baseball. So I thought, I love the aggressiveness of it. I love the idea that nobody even heard of them really, overly connected to Helsley, and then they go out and get him. Like, there was a lot of teams connected to Helsley. I don't remember the Mets being heavily involved, and then suddenly, poof. I think it was a great day, great aggressiveness. Now, see how much he continues it. Get another bullpen guy, get another, maybe a starting pitcher, go out and get Luis Robert or a center fielder. Because the one thing we saw, and we haven't talked too much about them getting swept in San Diego because the trade deadline and impacting this team and the idea that Philadelphia was losing to Chicago as well, no Soto in the lineup. You still have, you know, if you talk to positive Tommy, you've still won 7 out of your last 10. You've still went on a road trip out west and went 3-3, which isn't a disaster. It sucks when you start 3-0, but still, a 6-game West Coast trip at .500 isn't going to kill you. And so we haven't talked too much about these last three games, but we talked a lot about Soto struggling, a lot about Alonso struggling. But the other thing we saw, you know, starting pitchers not going deep into the game and having to rely on bullpen. We saw Alonso and Lindor not come through, and we saw center field be an issue. So all of the things they're trying to address at the deadline, and some they already have, showed up in these three games, and I think that's why the Mets need to go be aggressive, and they have been. I expect them to continue to do so. Let's go to Kevin in Copag. What's up, Kevin?
What up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
So I'm giving David Stearns an A+ if you can pull this off. Brandon Lau, Cedric Mullins, and Edward Cabrera from the Marlins. put Holmes back on the bullpen. You got the Yankees closer from last year, mm-hmm. the Cardinals closer this year, and the Mets closer. And you got the Submariner.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, and Lau's good. Mullins is very good defensively. He got off to a great start this year. He's been bad offensively for a while now.
He's
like
hot,
him.
Though, recently.
Has he been hot recently?
Yeah, like 9 for his last 20. He robbed a home run last night.
Well, I know. The catch. Did you see that catch? It was incredible.
Alcantara and Luis Robert. I mean, those are they're having bad seasons, but those are like the prime jewels. I think to pivot and go with Lau, Mullins, and then Edward Cabrera, another controllable guy from Miami, you're looking at like an A++. Let's roll into the let's bring on LA.
Yeah, and listen, LA has their own issues, and thank you for the call. They're not nearly as good. Obviously, Ohtani, if you didn't see, he still DH'd in the game but walked off the mound after throwing 6 balls, you know, well out of the strike zone. So we don't know if he's going to pitch again. They've had all kinds of problems staying healthy. Their bullpen is kind of in shambles, and they just haven't been nearly as good as everybody expected them to be. So they're ripe for the taking. But, yeah, Lau, Edwards, those are solid moves. And Mullins, I mean, yeah, they go do that. You've solidified this roster as much as you can. So I'm up for that. I think Stearns needs to continue to be aggressive, but yesterday was a slam dunk. I love the moves. And it brought me into the mindset of David Stearns because I was curious how he was going to handle this. This is a must-win season, and he's acting accordingly. And now the other general manager in town needs to go do it as well. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What's up?
I missed the good morning song, but I think 5 o'clock is perfect since you're going to 6.
Well, it's usually the last hour of the show, so I pushed off good morning. I let you sleep a little bit. I put it on snooze for an hour for all you guys out there.
I love it. I love it. And I remember a story about, I don't know, Mike was telling a story about a movie, and I think it was Dog Said True Story, and it was like,
oh, yeah, no, it it's a famous, well, no, it's a Daredevil. Would you like to see Daredevil? Yeah, what's that one about? It's about a blind crime fighter who becomes Daredevil. True story? No. So it's a whole comic book deal. It's one of the great clips ever.
Makes me laugh. Yeah. Always makes me laugh that line. So look, two things. I think you're right about what Stearns did. You overpay or not, you could see that guy is driving. He's got a bucket of cash. Mm-hmm. And he's looking to make some deals.
Yep.
So he's not done dealing. So that's a perfect scenario because you see it. Yes, you call
that's,
it an
and that's why I liked, and that, and that's why I'm emphasizing the overpay. Not to say that it's a bad trade, not to say that he made a mistake, not to say what an idiot. I like the overpay because it lets me into the mindset a little bit, and I would expect the aggressiveness to continue. So that's why I'm a fan of it.
And that's opposite of what he's so. Oh, he's a small town guy.
Yeah, you were curious about the mindset, and I think that answers it.
That shows the owner's got control there, which I think you could see.
Or that he recognizes that he's not in a mid-market anymore, and he's behaving differently. I don't think that's fair to say it's the owner. I think David Stearns is making these moves, and I think he's recognizing that this is different than Milwaukee. They've been building up the farm system. They got some guys. Who knows how they feel internally about Drew Gilbert? Maybe he's fallen out of favor inside the organization. I don't know, but whatever the case may be. It showed the aggressiveness that I was looking for. And not that I didn't think he had it in him or that he wouldn't do it necessarily. I was just curious. I mean, it's the first time he's been in this situation. He's been the Milwaukee Brewers GM, not the Mets GM. And last year's trade deadline felt different. This was the one after the Soto contract and everything where it's like, go out there and really impact this team. And I'm curious to see how he handles it. And boom, very aggressive.
Cool. Yeah, I agree.
And I love it.
Yeah, so I wanted to say, on Saturday, when we weren't sure if Judgey was hurt or not, I was already in sell mode, like you kind of were.
I was 100% sell mode. Yeah, no, that was just my. Maybe it was because of my immediate depression, and maybe the next day I would have felt differently. But I still feel like if it came back where Judge was gone for the year, because Judge is gone, they can't win. Forget this crap. Sell everybody. It's that the roster is uniquely set. Where there's a bunch of people to sell. Like,
you know, like, I don't want to trade Trent Grisham right now because I want him to win.
Which we haven't had.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of guys. They have so many guys who aren't under contract next year that they could get, and especially in a seller's market. Like, if they decided to trade Trent Grisham, if they decided to trade Devin Williams, if they decided, you know how much they would get right now for Cody Bellinger, as hot as he is? Like,
there's
a bunch of people on this roster where it just made sense, where if Judge was gone for the year, you could sell and get a haul back. Like, if the roster wasn't set in that manner where they had guys under contract and guys you believe in and the team is kind of more complete moving forward, like, I wouldn't have suggested it. But the roster is so uniquely set for a sell that if Judge was gone, I would have probably pivoted that way. And Andy Martino reported that that was the Yankee thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think they could also, with what they have, is make more, probably better trades. I think Cashman owes it to Judge to bring in a couple of pitchers and another bat if possible, and maybe move some of these free agents, these Grishams, maybe because it'll help the trade. So this could be a good thing. The bottom line is, I was ready to throw it in. I can't give up on the team.
No.
I still believe, but I feel like the DNA is just tough. And with this Volpe thing, it's a black eye on the coach and the team for not sitting him. I don't want to send him down. Sit him for a couple of days. Show him that he needs to chill because he is pressing, brother.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't disagree necessarily, but we act like that'll work. Like, we know, hey, sit him down, he'll be all right. How do you know sitting him down is going to work? Like you just said, sit him down, let him know he needs to stop pressing. What makes you think sitting down off of making three consecutive errors in three consecutive games that he's going to sit there on the bench and not overthink about all the errors he's been making? I don't know if a couple of days off help him. And right now I'm concerned a couple of days off is going to hurt his swing, which he just found. Amazingly enough, he's got his OPS back over 700. He's hit 6 home runs in the last 11 games. Like, he just hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. If I take him out of the lineup, I might affect his swing. Now, again, I'm not saying that's necessarily the wrong thing. This is where, like, you know, I could tell Brett in Long Island's on the line. This is where Brett has a problem with me. I'm supposed to tell you exactly what they should do. I don't know what they should do. I don't know if sitting Anthony Volpe is the right thing or the wrong thing. I don't want to send him down, that's for sure. And if he was still hitting 130 and he wasn't driving the baseball and he was terrible offensively, well, that's a lot easier. But right now he's making it more difficult because he's hitting. He's had big clutch hits, big home runs. His offense has improved since the All-Star break. And if we knew the answer that sitting him would make him better, of course. If giving him a couple days off fixed this, I would give him a week off if I thought it'd fix it. For sure. Sometimes playing through it is the only thing that fixes it. I don't know. But I do know that the New York Yankees can't have a shortstop who makes an error on the easiest of plays every single game. I do know that. So it can't continue forever. I get it. I don't think sending him down is necessarily the right thing. I wouldn't do that. I think you could bench him for a couple days. You can give him a couple days off, see if that helps. I just don't. It's a tough situation right now. It is a tough situation to figure out what to do with Anthony Volpe. I do not think there is a clear-cut answer because I do think he's the best shortstop on the roster. I do think right now he's hot offensively, and I think he's capable of being a better offensive player. He's hit big home runs here. You can't deny how clutch he's been. He won them a game in Atlanta. He gave them the lead and the insurance run last 2 nights ago, and he hit a game-tying home run in the 9th inning last night. They're 2 outs away from losing a gut-wrenching game. So I just don't think it's an easy answer, and I don't think I would send him down. But it can't continue. So, I mean, it's got to change immediately, or they're going to be forced to do one of those 2 things. Jeff in Fairview, what's up, Jeff?
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Great. I got one thing on the Mets and one thing on your Yankees. I think you're like the Yankees. All right. George Allen said, the future is now. The bullpen is where it's at, and the Mets did the right thing. Coleman and Stearns, right playing a Sully, I agree 100%. Now, the Mets have a glut of young players. There's five up here now. Vientos, Bader, Mauricio, Acuna, Alvarez, that Jet down there. So we gave up something, yeah, but if these guys are going to be good the rest of the way, we might even sign them. That's the benefit of Cohen having that money.
Sure. No, absolutely. Well, it's just asset allocation. You're trading, you know, for the right of him for the next month. Then you got to pay him, so it's money and prospects. But I don't disagree with you. As long as they're good, I agree. It's about, and they do have a lot of guys. And right now, there's a kind of cavalcade of young kids at third base. You're not sure what to do with it necessarily. Mauricio looks like a stud, but inconsistent. Vientos was incredible last year. He's upset with his playing time now, which I think is good. He should be upset. It's always, you want the guy to be upset. You don't want him to go, hey, it's fine, I'm cool not playing. Like, he should want to play, but he's got to continue to do things like hit the grand slam he did in San Diego the other night. I don't know if I want to trade him. I don't think you trade Mauricio right now. I'd probably be willing to move Beatty. I'd definitely be willing to move Acuna. So there's some guys you can move. There's a surplus of young guys, but I agree with you. Listen, I don't care what the package is, and I'm only calling it an overpay for Rodgers over and over again because I think it speaks to the mindset, which I like. I like that it's an overpay, but as far as it goes right now, like I want them to continue to be aggressive, but as long as these guys pitch in the bullpen, I don't care what they gave up. Because it's about winning a championship this year. And now I know that's how the manager and the owner and the GM handle it, because they just proved that's how they want to handle it.
And that's what the fans want, too. We want to win now.
Of course.
On Volpe, do you think the Yankee fans should give him a standing ovation like the Phillies did with Trey Turner 2 years ago, and he never stopped hitting since?
Mm-hmm.
I'll hang up.
Yeah, you got it, Jeff. Thank you. No. I mean, would I be against it? No. Do it. I wouldn't call. I don't think you have to do that. I thought that was hokey. It worked for them. I know the Mets did it with Lindor a little bit the next year, or that was it the same year as just later in the season? I don't remember. But, yeah, I don't think they have to do that. I'll tell you what, though. I was hoping for a curtain call last night. I was hoping for a curtain call last night off that home run. If I was in the press box, so I can't do anything like that. But if I was just in a seat, I would have been standing up chanting Volpe, trying to get the rest of the crowd to give him a curtain call. I thought that would have been a nice moment for him. Big home run, tie the game, get the curtain call, feel better. At the beginning of the game, they do cheer him. When he gets announced in the starting lineup, I was listening. He got announced in the starting lineup. He got a nice ovation. It wasn't a standing ovation. It wasn't anything over the top or any more than some other players, but I was curious if he's getting booed before games. He's not. When the lineup is announced, Anthony Volpe gets a nice hand. Then once the errors are made, or strikeouts happen, then he gets booed quickly. It doesn't take much right now. But I was looking, I thought he should have got a curtain call in that moment. It's a big home run. It's a big home run, and he's had a bunch of them here. So I would have liked to have given him a curtain call, let him feel that from the fan base, recognize that, hey, they don't hate me. They're just frustrated with how I'm playing, and that's reasonable. So if he would have got some love, I would have liked to have seen it. But no, I don't think they have to do a preordained kind of like standing ovation before the game. I don't think he needs that. But if he does something really good, like, you know, a game-tying home run off a closer in the bottom of the ninth after your closer blew the game, that curtain call would have been nice. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back, take your calls all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning show, live from Giant Camp right here on The Fan. If you missed it, if you're just waking up, a late-night trade happened earlier. Eugenio Suarez was traded back to the Mariners from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and that impacts the Yankees, obviously, as Seattle is right there in the wild card race. So they add a much-needed bat to a team that is a very pitching-heavy team with a great rotation. They were in desperate need of some offense. They've got now him and obviously the big dumper, who is having one of the great power seasons we've ever seen from a catcher. Raleigh is having just, and now with Judge on the shelf, has an excellent chance to go out there and win the MVP. But now you've got those two guys, you know, two of the premier home run hitters in all of baseball right now,
in the middle of that order changes the dynamic of that Seattle team. So to go along with their pitching, Seattle has just went out and made the big move, got the big offensive crown jewel of this trade deadline and changed the dynamic there. So the Yankees have to keep up. That's the bottom line. The Mets went out yesterday and were extremely aggressive. They have now revamped the entire back end of their bullpen. What was once, you know, Stanek and Brazoban and Reed Garrett now is Tyler Rogers, Ryan Helsley, and of course Edwin Diaz. So that is a three-headed monster as good as any in the game right now. And the Yankees need to do something. Offensively, they've done the minor upgrades that I think they needed. I don't think they needed major upgrades. This offensive team, and it's shown you last night and throughout the last couple weeks, they've been more resilient. Once Judge comes back, this lineup, to me, is still pretty deep and pretty good. They needed just an upgraded third. McMahon has been that with the game-winning hit last night. And just overall has been excellent since coming to the Yankees defensively, offensively, big hits. Had the biggest hit of the game that they won in against the Phillies. Had the biggest hit, obviously, last night. I don't know if it's the biggest hit, but it's the game-winning hit. Would have just been a fly ball under normal circumstances. But he comes through with the big hit. He's a major upgrade. They needed more upgrades around the, you know, instead of Peraza and Vivas, now they have Rosario, and they traded for Slater earlier in the day, who hits and mashes left-handed pitching. So they've upgraded offensively. And that's fine. That's all they needed. They didn't need Suarez. They need pitching help. They need a starting pitcher. They need bullpen arms. And Brian Cashman has till 6 o'clock today. And the Mets are still out on the prowl looking for possibly another reliever, looking for a center fielder, and possibly Luis Roberts. They are still out there, and Stearns is being uber aggressive here to chase down this championship in a wide open Major League Baseball, let alone National League. So that's where we are today, and off of the Yankee game last night, craziness ensued. Of course, a lot with Anthony Volpe, who is just a weird dichotomy right now of errors every day and big homers every day since the All-Star break. The Yankees are in a very tough position with that, as it just can't continue. And, of course, another sloppy game where Austin Wells, in the biggest of moments, on second base in the 10th inning, doesn't recognize or understand how many outs there are and walks off the base. Thinks there's three outs, walks off the base with two outs, gets tagged out to end the inning and not allow an opportunity to score that run and win the game right there. But they do eventually walk it off with a big win. The offense is showing some resiliency. So there's issues, there's errors, there's sloppiness, there's a blown save. It doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy off of that win, but it was a good win. They're in desperate win mode, trying to compete with the Blue Jays and everybody else in the American League wild card. So overall, a good night for the Yankees, and now Brian Cashman's got to get doing something because they are in desperate need of bullpen arms. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eli in Long Branch. What's up, Eli?
Hey, good morning, Big Mac. How are you, man?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm on the train on the way back. I just was actually at the game last night. What do you call it? I actually saw that the Volpe play with I thought it was pretty good last night and everything. I thought Ben Rice and everything should have made that scoop. It wasn't a great throw, but it was a good enough throw and everything that he should have made the scoop.
Yeah, and I'm gonna let you go, Eli, because your line's a little bit bad. Look, should he have made the scoop? Yes. There are two. I was talking about this. Jerry had me on briefly on the warm-up show yesterday morning. There are two kind of balls in the dirt that first basemen prefer. You either want what have been the last couple from Anthony Volpe, to be fair to him, and I'm in no interest to be fair to him, because bottom line, you need better throws. No one's questioning that. It's on Anthony Volpe. But when you throw the ball in the dirt, you either want the long hop, where it's literally 5 or 6 feet, the ball bounces 5 or 6 feet away from the first baseman and gives him a good look and a nice long hop, or you want the right at the glove level where it's easy to put it out there and bounce it right into the glove. You don't want the ball to bounce a foot, 2 feet away where it becomes awkward. You want it a long distance, or you want it real close to the glove. And the last two Volpe errors have been that kind of scoop, real close to the glove. And both Rice and Goldschmidt have been unable to come up with it. Now, should they come up with it? Yes. Has Goldschmidt come up with those scoops all year long? Yes. We watch Pete Alonso play with the Mets. Does Pete Alonso make those scoops? You bet your ass he does. He's been incredible around the bag this year. And Ben Rice had the ball in his glove. There is no reason why he shouldn't have made the pick. That is a pickable ball. That is the kind of throw you want to pick. It's an easy pick. In his glove, should have had it. But the error is on Volpe, and rightfully so. That is an easy play. He's coming in. Diaz, while he can run okay, is not an overly fast runner. There is no reason that throw can't be in his chest. Now, the rest of the game, he made a handful of plays. He got to a ball, you know, crossing over to second base kind of, and really had no play, didn't even throw it. Made every other play except the one. Still can't have easy plays like that. Nobody's talking about it if the scoop is made. I grant you that. But he's got to make a better throw. Just has to. It can't be every ball in the dirt. He's got to be better. And right now, I just don't think it's an easy answer. Sending him down, I understand that they sent Alvarez down. And he went down and mashed some pitching and got confidence and came back up. Right now, it's not even it's the offense. He's hits how many home runs? 6 home runs since the All-Star? Like, he's been great. Offensively, he's been good. He's got his OPS back over 700. I'm afraid to take him out of the lineup and ruin his bat right now. But it can't happen on a nightly basis. So you can give him a day off. You could figure something, you could try something because something needs to change, obviously. And I'll tell you this, too. Last night, I tweeted it out and I got on Boone. How about this one? For all you guys who think I'm a Boone sycophant and never says anything negative about him. I was pissed off last night. In the bottom of the ninth, they score in the eighth. They pinch run for Peraza. They pinch run Peraza for Rice. And they take the lead 2-1. And I tweeted out, Peraza should stay in the game. Peraza should stay in the game, take over at short, bring Goldschmidt in for Volpe's spot in the lineup and play him at first. And Peraza should be the shortstop going into the bottom of the ninth because you can't have another throw in the dirt. God forbid a ball is hit to him in the ninth inning with Devin Williams. You can't have it. It happened the other night where Devin Williams had to get an extra out. You can't make him do that. So I wanted Peraza to come in and play shortstop. And Boone sends him back out there. I thought it was a major mistake. I was like, Boone, recognize what's going on. Like, those are the moments you can give Volpe a blow. But he doesn't. They blow the lead. Volpe's still in the lineup. And he hits the game-tying home run. If Aaron Boone would have done what I wanted him to do, you'd have Goldschmidt up in that spot, and maybe he doesn't come through. I don't think there's an easy answer to the Volpe situation. My gut would tell me he's got to play through it. He's got to play through it. But having said that, he can't just make an error a day for forever. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, you want me to come in and finish the show? You think the best thing to do with Volpe is let him play through it? 16
hours. You're breaking up there a little bit. Good.
He's batting 217 with 16 outs. You want him to play through it?
Well, I mean, again, he's not hitting 216 over the last 11 games. He's hitting much better than that, and he just hit the game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. He's got 6 home runs in his last 11 games. It's a little bit different than the 217.
But we say when Judge strikes out 15 out of 19 over, like, 8
Yeah, well, Judge is the greatest hitter in the world, so it's a little different.
You say it's 10 games, but now it's the narrative changing.
No, it's not the narrative changing. It's Judge is above and beyond the last 10 or 11 games one way or the other because he's Aaron Judge. He's paying $40 million a year, and he's the MVP. He's a two-time MVP and the best hitter. No. Okay, now here's the point. The narrative changes because the player changes. You dope. If Anthony Volpe was one for his last 30, it's a real easy answer. Not changing the narrative. He's not had a good offensive season. He's swinging the bat well right now.
He's hit six home runs in his last 11 games, and he just hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. He hit a 452-foot home run the other day, as well as the base hit that gave him the lead. So he has been one of their best offensive players. Mind you, Brett, in a time period where the aforementioned Aaron Judge is not in the lineup, where they are desperate for offense. I don't know if you've noticed, but they hardly scored a run. In fact, they scored no runs through the first seven innings of this game. So I do need the best offense of the New York Yankees, do need the best offensive team out there. And you can call it a narrative or whatever you'd like. Over the last 11 games, Anthony Volpe is part of the best offensive team out there. Now, I agree he can't make an error every day, but at the same time, yes, it's not like he can't play the position physically. It would be one thing if they are throwing out a butcher out there who can't play. Like my fear of throwing Stanton in the outfield. If you put Stanton in the outfield and you watch him and he plays for six straight days in right field and he doesn't get to a damn ball and he can't throw because he's got tennis elbow and he's literally someone who physically cannot play the position, that is different to me than a young kid who's dealing with the yips, who is perfectly capable of making every play on every error he's made. Perfectly capable. But he's got something mentally going on with him. You can make the case playing through it, hitting the home run, making the play in the bottom of the 10th, the top of the 10th, like he did on the final out of the 10th inning and made a good throw. Those kind of things can get him on track more than benching him, sitting him, sending him to the minors with a mindset of I failed. And a mindset of now I got to sit here for 2 days and go over and over how terrible I am at throwing the baseball. That argument could be made, Brett. And to me right now, with his offense over the last 11 games, it makes it a complicated issue. That is correct. You can call it a narrative. You can call it whatever you want. I think you can call it fair, to be honest with you, but please continue.
You talk about accountability.
Yes.
You played high school football. We know because you remind us that you were like the best in school. We know.
Athlete of the year, absolutely.
If you had two holding calls every other game,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be playing?
My point. I don't know, but then if I ran the game winning touchdown down by four with 3 seconds left, maybe I would. I don't know.
Yeah, let Chris play through it. He had one
yes.
good game. The point
play
is,
through it. Okay, Malik Nabers led the league in drops. Should they bench him?
He's a rookie.
Rookies are different. Oh, now you're changing the narrative, Brett. If Anthony Volpe was still hitting the way he was hitting 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago before the All-Star break, it's an easy thing. Easy. And I agree with you. It can't continue for much longer. And I don't know. I'm being fair. I don't know where I draw the line. But last night, his error didn't hurt them. His home run helped them win the game. And over the last two games, his offense has specifically played an enormous role in winning these two baseball games. He has been a plus in the two baseball games. As ugly as the errors were, his offense has helped more than his errors have hurt. Now, that might not be the case moving forward. It hasn't been the case prior to those two games. But right now, he's swinging the bat, and it's a mental issue. It's not a physical one. It's not like he can't play the position. He's got to figure it out. Right now, my mindset is, my gut would tell me, let him play through it and see if you can get him on the other side of it. He made a good throw the last out. That proves he's capable of it. Hopefully the home run, that big moment, hopefully it snaps him out of it. Because again, it's not like he physically can't do it. You're not putting a butcher out there. You're not putting a terrible fielder out there. You're putting out a kid who's mentally messed up. And I'm not saying you can't give him a day off here or there, and especially, right, they brought in Rosario because he hits right left-handed pitching. If there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, and you want to give Rosario a start at shortstop to give Volpe a day off? Sounds great to me. I'm in. But just the idea of taking him out of the lineup, benching him, or sending him down to the minors when he's hit six home runs in the last 11 games and has almost single-handedly won them the last two games, offensively,
I'm feeling better about him. Tom in Melville. What's up, Tom?
Yo, C-Mac, what's going on, brother?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I don't know what the odds are that I get to follow the wonderful Brett in Long Island another time. But
Has it happened a couple times to you, Tom?
This is the second time, nice. And I have to say, it's honestly a miracle to me that this man can dial the phone. But at any point, I just
But think of how good it makes you look. It's actually a good spot.
I was going to say, it's going to make me look like Aaron Judge following him. Because,
that's absolutely right.
Let me get to this. Yeah.
Just don't throw it in the dirt. That's it. Let's go.
No, listen, I'm trying to change my mentality on Volpe. I'm trying to give a little positivity towards him because, like you said, this Yankees season has been a roller coaster, man. I think it's got my wife questioning my mental sanity because I'm downstairs listening to Dave and Susan. I don't really get to watch a lot, you know, being in South Jersey, but mm-hmm. I've been redoing the drywall in my garage, and you know, we got the Devin Williams. First, we got the comeback, which was unbelievable.
Yeah,
Grisham's home run, Stan's RBI. I'm feeling amazing. Then Devin Williams chokes it up. I put another hole in the brand new drywall I just put up, so you got to cut that out.
Yep.
Then we go to extra innings, and I mean, even before that, Volpe with one of the biggest home runs when I thought it was over after Devin Williams choked it up.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, dude, we got that comeback from last night. Bellinger's been playing his ass off. I can't be more impressed by him.
No but doubt.
If you think about the last couple weeks, man, we had that comeback win against Seattle. We had that comeback win against Atlanta.
Yeah.
We had the last two games against Tampa Bay. Like, I know there's a lot of negative things to say on this team.
And rightfully
you
so.
Admit, man, I know you watch every game like me. I know you're at least you're listening somehow.
No, yeah.
This team's got some heart, man.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, Tom. And thank you for the call. I don't disagree. Like, there are issues. There's no doubt. And I think that ninth inning. I was sitting next to, in the press box, I was sitting next to a nice guy from Sirius XM Radio, and he said this, we were talking about it. That ninth inning and the roller coaster of that last game has been an example of this entire Yankee season. Like, that ninth inning, they have the rally in the eighth, and then the ninth inning, Devin Williams blows it. You get the Volpe home run to tie the game. And then you get Wells not knowing how many outs there are at second base. Like, it was like that ninth inning gave you everything. It gave you the bullpen issues they've been having and Devin Williams at the start of the year. Then you get the craziness of Anthony Volpe's up and down season. He hits that big home run. And then you get this lapse of just being aware that you're involved in a baseball game by forgetting how many outs there are. Like, that was the Yankee season in an inning, that ninth inning. And it's frustrating, and it's maddening, and they make you think that they're awful and they can't compete, and they make you think that they can, you know, have a deeper lineup than they did last year, and then they make you think that they're just, you know, the bullpen's just not good enough, and the team's not good enough, and the roster construction, and we have three catchers but no third baseman, and then they'll come from behind and have these big games, and you get a ace-like performance from Max Fried, and Carlos Rodon is having the best season of his Yankee career. Like, it's absolutely all over the place. Absolutely all over the place this Yankee season. But what I will say over the last few, as you said, over the last 2 weeks, early in the season, even while they were winning at the beginning of the year, they weren't coming from behind. They weren't battling back. And there was a question about this team's heart. I think they've answered that. I really do. I do think this team has shown a lot of heart as of late. Now, they've shown no brains. They've shown absolutely no brains. They've given the Tin Man what he needs, but the Scarecrow is still there. Like, they've got the heart, but there are no brains with this team. That is fair. But they battle back, they fight. And if I'm Brian Cashman and I look at it and I say to myself, like, this team's showing some fight, man. This team's showing some heart and some spunk. Let me go out there and make, because there's been this question about how hard a buy are they going to have. Is this team with the Judge injuries and the way they've played, is it worth it to go out there and give up top-level prospects to help this particular team? Now, they're definitely going to go add something. because they just flat out need arms in the bullpen. So he's going to go add something. But at what level? And what are they willing to give up? And as dysfunctional as this team has shown at times, over the last 3 weeks, they have shown they will fight, they will claw, they will battle back. They have leaders outside of Judge. Stanton's been that this entire year from when they got their, you know, when they got their AL championship rings, and he said, I better not see anybody wear these. Like, he's a leader. Bellinger has stepped up immensely. Grisham comes through in the clutch. Like, there's a lot of guys on this team who have been leaders and have shown fight and clutch and resiliency. And they need help in the bullpen. And they need another starter. And ultimately, who knows if they're good enough, but in this era of baseball right now, the wide-open American League, and in the middle of a Judge and Cole prime that you are desperate to get a championship with, you got to go be aggressive. Go get Mason Miller. Go get someone really good. Don't just give me arms like Leiter you did like with last year and say, well, Leiter's coming back and Cruz is coming back. I only needed one or two more guys. And plus, you know, Cruz with his strikeout rate, he was going to be at the top of the bullpen anyway. So, you know, we're good with, like, you know, just guys who are better than Hamilton. Like, I don't want that. Go be aggressive. Because as bad as it's been and as ugly as it's been and as stupid as they've played, they've also shown you a ton of heart. And the offense, even without Judge, coming through. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back after the update, our final hour, as we ride with you from 5 to 6, taking your calls up until the morning show. It's hard not to say the warm-up show. Just force habit. The morning show at 6 a.m. as Boomer and Gio will be live from Giants camp right here on The Fan. We'll be right back.